It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Good Wednesday evening, Northern Colorado. Welcome in. It is Brew Talk inside the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks so much for being with us here as it's Greeley Stampede Eve tonight as we get set. The Stampede gets underway tomorrow, and I know Chad is just absolutely thrilled about that. He's going to be down there every second of every minute of every day. He's going to be there. Chad Young, the owner of the tavern at St. Michael's Square. Not a big rodeo guy, are you?
I've been to one.
Yeah?
That's so all I need.
That's it? You saw one, and you think you've seen them all, huh?
Probably the same. Every rodeo.
Also joining us, Dr. Michael Mosier with Rule 105 Brewing. I feel comfortable saying that now that we're just 2 days away from the grand opening.
That's right. That's right. We're very excited to be opening up as Rule 105. The only problem is that we've got the Stampede to compete with.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, a lot of people have brought that up. You know, at the end of the day, does Stampede help or does it hurt local businesses? And I think it's a little bit of a mix on that because some, you can get people out and say, okay, well, I'm going to go grab a beer somewhere. I'm going to go grab a bite to eat before we go down, you know, to Island Grove Arena and down that way. But others, I mean, they just take, that's their night out for the week.
Well, we're using it as a marketing kind of thing. So we're saying, hey, you know, bring your tickets as you're going to the Stampede and come on in and we'll give you dollar off pints for it.
That'll work. Yeah, that's a great idea. And you guys are closed. You were closed today and tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Wednesday, Thursday, we're closed this week, and then we grand open on Friday. So we're
that's going to be a good time.
Stoked.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I just was seeing too on your Facebook page, Rule 105. There's a bunch of drawings that are going to be happening as well. I mean, and big prizes, right? I mean, $75 gift card, $50 gift card, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of door prizes and things like that, and free T-shirts, etc. A lot of merch that we're debuting, obviously, because we're just opening.
Right. Yeah.
And, so it's going to be a ton of good stuff. I think there'll be five new beers if you've never been there before. There'll be five new ones on tap this time around. So
perfect. And the whole show will be out there from 12 to 2 as well. If you want to stop by and join us, we'll be out there. And I'm sure Chad's going to find his way. You're going to come hang out with me at some point, aren't you?
I would, but I'm going to be in Florida.
Oh, that's right.
Very cool.
That's right. I forgot about that. Your wife headed down to Florida.
Yep. She's got a conference to go to, and I'm tagging along just to tag along.
Just to get into some different hot weather?
You'll have to go down and hit up some places like Cigar City and other breweries like that down there. And
Yeah. I've got a list that I'm compiling to do like the to walk around to that's within walking distance or Uber distance of the conference center there.
I love that. How big is the list already?
I've got five so far.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's a great start
that's a good
on
afternoon,
it.
Afternoon, at least.
Yeah. So I'll get one afternoon. But that's I'll do the rest of the time.
I think if you get to one if you really like, though, then you can just spread the other four out because there's going to be one of those five that you don't like.
Yeah. You know, there'll probably be one that'll be okay. It'll probably be okay. And hopefully there's a great one that'll just spend most of my time at.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. That'll be fun down there. Well, I will be drinking some Rule 105 brewery beer as well. Don't forget next Tuesday, the 29th, it is the beer dinner pairing with the Tavern at St. Michael's Square and Horse and Dragon Brewing Company as well. That's next Tuesday night. Tickets still available for that?
Tickets are still available.
Go get it done. I saw the menu came out. That looks delicious. It looks great.
Matt's doing a great job with these menus. So
yeah, going to be a good time. So check that out as well. June 29th at the Tavern at St. Michael Square. All right, it's been a day. What are we doing? Are they American pale ales? What are we doing tonight?
Is that what we're doing for?
Yeah. I think I may have gotten a little wayward with mine, but I think it works. So we'll talk about that. That'll be coming up as well. But before, I got a little bit of beer news here. We got a couple of stories to get to. This from Westward.com. Colorado breweries can hold Frontier Festivals
under new rules. So they have loosened this up a little bit now for breweries and distilleries, hotels, casinos, and restaurants, too. They've got more freedom to host festivals outside of their places of the business and to include other liquor manufacturers in the fun. And the new rules introduced originally as 21082 will also allow breweries to take out a festival permit in their own name rather than in the name of a nonprofit organization, which was the previous mandate. So now they're opening it up where you don't have to be a nonprofit. You don't have to be a festival. If Rule 105, if the tavern wants to go ahead and put on a beer festival under their own name in their parking lot, they can do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. So we just have to file under our own liquor license to get
right.
This done,
yeah,
rather than
just
have
be
to
an event license for that.
Oh, that's
day.
Nice.
And is it? I think it's up to six you can have throughout the year, if I remember.
It's something along that. The breweries can still donate money to nonprofits, but they can now organize, staff, and run the festivals themselves. In addition, the law, which previously applied only to winemakers, permits festival organizers to, quote, engage in any retail operations authorized by their existing licenses. So you can make a little bit of money out there as well. Breweries will be able to offer packaged beer, sales to go, meaning they can set up festival stores so that attendees can keep the party going at home. So I thought that was that's an interesting piece of legislation, right? I mean, we've seen the beer to go sales that is here to stay. Now they're making a little bit more lenient with this. Now, as business owners, a restaurant for you, Chad, and obviously a brewery owner for you, Doc, is this appealing to you, or does this sound like a lot of damn work right now?
Well, I think right now, for us, it'd be a lot of damn work because, you know, we're already short-staffed, and I think we're not the only ones. So I think, you know, yeah, it's a great idea, and hopefully we can eventually get there. Just not quite yet.
Yeah,
I wonder how many volunteers I'd need to find, right?
Right. You can pay them beer, I'm sure.
Of course, yeah, I was going to say, if volunteers, you can always get them work for beer.
The only problem is, I'm thinking is, can I be off-site and use a park for it and still be under my license? Because if I can, then I've got enough space to do it. Otherwise, you know, parking is rather limited, and so just in my parking lot will be just, you know, maybe a very small event.
I believe
in some way it has to be somehow connected to your facility.
Okay.
So it's
interesting. I'm pulling up the legislation right now, but that could take me 5.5 years to read through here.
I don't know how many pages, but if I remember from the summary I read a month or so back, it's got to be like a parking lot thing or something.
Okay, something
fairly
attached to your that you'd normally use anyhow.
Right.
So you can't like rent an event center and then.
So for Rule 105, if you wanted to do something super small, maybe on your patio,
right?
You know, that would be the option.
Right. Or in the parking
lot.
Expand
the patio into the parking area.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this bill, there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to get through it right now. But what's a little interesting about the wording that Westward.com used, it's a great article, but when they say to host festivals outside of their places of the business, what does that mean? I mean, is it outside of the vicinity? I mean, is
outside.
It outside of the literally outside? Is it,
Right, because right now our you can't take alcohol past this point line stops at our front door.
Right.
And so if we are now allowed to use the parking lot, well, that's outside that area.
And I think that's exactly – I think that's
and
what
the same rules
about,
would apply. You know, you're outside, so you'd have to, you know, block it off somehow with tape or fencing or barricades or something like that. You just kind of tie it into your existing facility. If that's what if I'm remembering correctly.
So does like the park right outside the St. Michael's Square Park, does that apply? Would that apply for you?
We would have to somehow block off like a walkway from the restaurant to the park.
Tavern over there.
And then kind of do a little fence.
That still wouldn't be too hard though, right?
No, I mean, it wouldn't.
That's actually an interesting idea.
And actually, several years ago, we were in the process of trying to plan something like that and got all the way up, you know, through the liquor board and all we needed was a lease and then they changed owners associations and at that time a lot of the buildings were empty, so there wasn't a whole lot of support from the few businesses that were there. So
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting one there that we'll be able to talk about. I tell you, we got a couple more news stories that we're going to get to, but let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back on the other side. It is Brew Talk Radio right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We're talking American Pale Ales tonight. It's going to be a good bunch here. Welcome back in. I'm Tanner Schwent. Chad Young, owner of the Tavern at St. Michael Square, Dr. Michael Mosher with Rule 105 Brewing Company. We got done talking about beer festivals and what things are changing there, right? And that's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun to see how people utilize that because you create something like this and then somewhere, someplace, someone's having an idea that could make this a very cool idea to work with it. But let's shift over here to a different story. Falling Rock Tap House will be closing, ending a craft beer era.
Yeah.
Fellas, Chad, I think you were the one who shared this, actually.
Yeah, that's sad to see. Falling Rock has been a staple in the craft beer scene for a very long time.
Definitely.
It opened 1997, so you're talking 24 years ago, just a block from Coors Field. It will be pouring its last pint on Sunday, June 27th. So that'll be its last day. Its closure will sever a rudder that has helped steer people to small and independent breweries, a safe harbor where you knew there would be, quote-unquote, no crap on tap. It will also leave a hole for thousands of Colorado Rockies fans making their way to the stadium every summer. When you've got a brewery that lasts for 24 years in that competitive of a market, they were clearly doing something right.
Yeah, and they always did like their an event right around GABF to kind of coincide with GABF.
And it makes you wonder if somebody's retiring and nobody wants to buy or what's the reason why they're going out, because it's a great location, too.
It is. Yeah. Has the last year and a half maybe just been too much? And
that could be, too.
That's what the bar founder, Chris Black, said. It's been tough. This has been tough. But 24 years is a pretty great run.
Agreed.
And, yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it does not mention why or how or what the reasoning was behind it. But 24 years in the craft beer, I mean, in any industry is ridiculously good, right?
Well, that's a career.
Yeah. It really is, and it did. I mean, it kind of set the stage for what the craft beer scene, not only in Colorado, but in Denver specifically. That 24 years ago, that was pretty early on in this whole adventure.
Yeah, before the big brewery boom, you know, they were pulling from breweries in California and Oregon and all over the country, and beers that you couldn't find anywhere else, but at the Falling Rock. So.
Yeah,
I think the only thing that was down that way was probably Wincoop or that was about it that was around there. So, that's quite an impressive run.
Right, and again, its last day will be Sunday, June 27th.
How many people are making a field trip to go?
I know,
there?
Right?
It's
going to
be a big week,
right? It's got to be. It's probably has been already this week, you might as well make it one last time over there. Let's switch to some more positive news, shall we? Prost Brewing adding chef-driven menu, cocktails, and a big third location. Prost is continuing to grow here. They are exiting the pandemic in some ways better off than it went into it. Not only did the company produce more beer in 2020 than in the previous year, but it also added a line of seltzers and brought on a significant restaurant expert in Boyd Hoback, who founded and led the Denver-based Good Times restaurant chain for 30 years. Now, that's an interesting hire.
It is. A fast food guy, essentially, because it's Good Times Burgers, right?
Right.
the fast food place, and coming into a craft beer, it's probably a great hire.
It sounds like a marriage made in heaven, doesn't it? It's like bar food.
Absolutely.
By somebody who knows fast food. So that could work out really, really well.
Right. And he was with Good Times until 2019, stepping down. And this seems to be like his little hobby. And when you have someone who doesn't have pressure to perform, and I'm sure he's got pressure to perform, but this is his...
But not necessarily the pressure that a national chain
of would. Course. That's when creativity can strike,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's what will be interesting to see as Hoback and Prost owners, the father-son duo of Ken and David DeLine, are adding a menu designed by well-known chef Mac McKissick, Bardo, Morin, among others, and Juan Padros, founder of Culinary Creative, which started off with Highland Tap and Burger and now has a growing empire, including those where McKissick oversees the kitchen and menu. And on top of all that, they're building a third location with 7,000 square feet of space and a 4,000 square foot patio at 53 Centennial Boulevard in Highland Ranch.
Wow.
Prost, taking a big step.
It's the right step right now, I think. That is what people are looking for, is that big, gigantic patio space.
Yep.
But also a big space indoors where you can get out of the weather if it gets a little icky for just
absolutely.
A second or
I
two.
I think that's why the Prost Tap Room in Fort Collins is so successful, because they have a huge beer garden outside, but they have a good space inside, too, that you can get away from the weather. And
it's always interesting, and especially, I mean, this is, it's weird that we're tying this back into a beer show, but the cost of construction right now is so damn high.
Yeah.
The cost of everything, I know, but do you get a little worried when you start to see this and say, okay, I'm going to build it for X amount. Is that price going to stay there? And that's, I think that's what I would be worried about just as a business owner in general.
Well, but you might be thinking my return on my investment is going to be X amount. Or I'm expecting this many people to come to the place. And that's going to overpower any cost of construction for the most part. I mean, unless it's just made out of gold or something.
Yeah, and I think you're making a move like this. You're not too concerned about the cost of the building. You're more concerned about the future of the brand.
Right. Yeah, this is a huge step for the brand. There's no doubt about it. But you also, I mean, with that much square footage available, you got to have a lot of people showing up. And, I mean, Prost, though, I feel like Prost is a name now that's well enough known that it very well should draw that many people.
Well, and their flagship is pretty close to Coors Field, so they get the baseball crowds. Their second location in Fort Collins is right in Old Town, so it's... They're getting a good crowd there.
Right.
So I'm sure they're pretty, wherever they're opening in.
They've done the
research.
Right.
And it's going to be another great location.
They're not opening up that kind of a space in some place like Kersey, although I wish they would.
That'd be great.
It would be great for us, but I don't think they'd hit the number of people.
Probably not.
I think they've done their market research to make sure that they're hitting a place where that kind of a space is probably just a little too small for what they need.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Good news there from Prost, adding another thing on there. Let's switch gears. We've been talking beer news. Let's talk about pale ales, fellas. Another lighter beer that we're going to be getting into here. Doc, I'll open it up to you. Let's talk some details of the pale ale.
Yeah, so the pale ale actually is probably one of the first ales that came back onto the market in the Americas, or especially in the United States in the late 70s when... craft brewing started to really, you know, jump back on because it's a relatively straightforward beer to make. It can be a difficult one to make for a home brewer. There's not a lot of forgiveness in making mistakes, but we start seeing tons of those new beers starting to pop up in the 80s, like Sierra Nevada, Sam's, the Boston Brewing Company.
Sam
Adams. Those kinds of things, those kind of beers.
I was just going along with that. I'm like, yeah, the Boston Brewing Company. I know them. Yeah, that's right.
Sam Adams. But anyhow, those kind of beers just started popping up right around the 1980s time frame. And you now start to see some craft brewers really picking up that style again and retweaking it and just running forward with it. The pale ale is a take on the English pale ale. But as an American brand, and as most American beers,
pick something about the beer that you were trying to emulate.
And double it,
and
triple it.
Double it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whether that's the alcohol, whether that's the bittering, whether that's the color, whether that's the flavor, whatever, pick something and double it. And then it becomes an American pale ale.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, already I'm looking at one of these here, and am I wrong, or this is an American pale ale, right? Or no? Or no? Did I miss the boat?
I think it's been classified as a strong ale,
yeah.
But it will kind of fall in the same kind of category. You'll notice a lot of the similar characteristics between it and
okay.
the pale ale.
Well, I'll be interested to see. Well, we can compare it, and
it's a good beer nonetheless.
I'm excited to have it, but I was looking for this, and you know, there's a lot of IPAs out there. You don't get as many, you know, just American pale ales out there. And why
no,
is I mean,
true.
Just because is that going to it how tricky it is?
It's not so much how tricky it is. It's just that it's just a good beer that's very clean and drinkable, typically. And it's not really, for a professional brewer, it's like ho-hum. It's not really showcasing all the wonderful bells and widgets and gadgets that we have.
Well, the market right now isn't really
in the, market,
in the
right.
area of the pale ale. So
right.
people are going to go for what people are buying, which right now is highly fruited beer, highly fruited sours.
Seltzers.
Seltzers.
You know,
and non-alcoholic.
Hazy and New England IPAs.
You're right.
And those kind of things. So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is still. I'm excited to get into this here, Chad. Before we go there, some pairings here.
So it's a really easy beer to pair with just about everything. Goes great with barbecue. Summer barbecues. It goes well with you know, ribs, or it goes well with burgers. It goes great with pizza.
I always hate this part of the show when I have an aid.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy because I ask and then I'm sitting over here like drooling down myself.
It actually goes good with chips and salsa, too.
Chips and salsa, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. It's one of those beers that's really easy to pair with so many things that, you know, it's great with bar food.
I love it. I love it. I'm excited. Let's go ahead and get into this. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, we got into Beer 30, the American Pale Ales. It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in Brew Talk. How the hell am I supposed to ask you what time it is when you're drinking, Chad?
Easy.
Yes. What time is it, Chad?
It's Beer 30, Tanner.
It is Beer 30, and we're diving into this. These American Pale Ales.
Ooh.
Obviously, yeah, that was a great note by you. Dale's not on the table here tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody and their mothers had Dale's Pale Ale, though, so it wouldn't do much good for us.
Well, that's a great one to have.
It's a great beer to have. It's
here,
just,
here.
It would sweep the field, so we kept it off the table tonight.
We did, but this beer, we've got some good ones. So mine's a little wrong. Other than that, we'll get into that.
I think I'll notice it's not so wrong.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's
it's
get
so
it.
Wrong, it's right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to stop that before it goes anywhere else. Chad, let's have you introduce your beer.
All right. So this is Colorful Colorado Pale Ale from Left Hand, ringing in at 5.6 ABV. Fresh grapefruit, mandarin notes, and light pine notes. From a double dose of Citra and Cascade Hops, according to the can. So let's go with thoughts.
It's a lot lighter than I thought it would be for a pale ale.
Yeah, pretty light.
I mean, I was about ready to say it's really light, but then I was thinking it's a lot lighter
right.
than I think it would be for a pale ale.
Almost like a golden straw color, huh?
Yeah, it is. It does have a wonderful nose on it, though. And very hoppy.
Yeah.
It is very hoppy.
Which I think that's the thing that's different.
Do you like what I contributed to the show? Do you ever stop and say, why the hell is Tanner even here?
Yes.
Because he's just,
he supplies.
He's like, it's Hoppy. I'm like, yep.
He just supplies the drinking glasses.
Yeah, that is true. That's about it. And the radio. The radio side of it, I guess. But
otherwise, we're just three jerks at the bar.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Sorry, Doc. But I was agreeing with it. You just say something. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, no.
Yep.
But I think there's a hop note at the end or at the start when you're smelling it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you have the bitterness that goes really well. It may be just a little bit tingier of a bitter than I'm thinking it would be pale ale, but it's not too far
off. It's really reminiscent of me to me of an English IPA.
Yeah.
In the color and the hoppiness and the...
The smell, the nose of it gets a little different when you get your nose inside of your glass. Did you notice that too? I mean, it really hits. I mean, it really smacks when you get in there.
It does. But the thing is that it kind of is more like an IPA than a PA.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. 5.6 on this, on the ABV.
So fairly light on the alcohol.
Yeah. That's sessionable, isn't it?
No, for sure. Well, depending on your drinking experience, I suppose. Remember, 8 and above is BrewTalk approved. It's got to be an average score from all three of us to be 8 and above. And let's get into this right here. Chad, it was your beer. We'll let you go first.
I'm really enjoying this, actually. I could sit down and have a few of these. I'm going to go with an 8 on it.
Mm. I like it. I actually really love the nose on it. I get a little bit of grapefruit and orange in the nose that I kind of like, and the flavor is really, really smooth. I'm going to go an 8.5 on this one for me.
I think I might surprise you guys a little bit here. I like this beer. As I'm drinking it, you know, you're talking about ribs. Just a cheeseburger. I mean, just a cheeseburger
would go. This is a great burger.
Great with this. You're sitting outside, starting to cool off a little bit, bang a couple of these back and make your evening a little bit better. I'm going 8.7 on this. I'm going a little bit higher than both of you guys. I'm going 8.7. I really enjoy this beer, and that does make it BrewTalk approved. America! Thank you for finding the edited version. I appreciate it. Otherwise, we would be having people email me for an application to take Ryan's job. We're in the middle of Beer 30 here. And Dr. Mosier, what'd you bring in?
So I happened to find Bootstrap's Styx Pale Ale. This is a sessionable beer, they say. 5.5% ABV, and it's made with Rocky Mountain Glacier Water.
All right.
So that's their version of the pale ale, and I'll let you all give it a shot. What do you think?
I haven't seen on the can what music to pair with it. Don't they do
it
that?
It doesn't on the here. I was looking for that. That's why I was like.
Maybe that's just the website. Maybe you have to go to the website.
Yes. I agree with you. I think it's their website you have to tell. What do you think?
It's different. It's different than what we just had. I'm not saying it's good or bad. But it's different.
The nose is not as hoppy, but it's still as hoppy. It's just a different aroma of hops. It's much more fruity hop. A little darker in color. The head is still about the same as what we had, but this one is a little bit more full-bodied.
Yeah, for sure.
And the bitterness doesn't whack you in the back of the head. It just sort of slowly comes on as you get to it.
I agree. Mm. I concur.
I concur.
That's not what makes radio, right? You guys got to hate each other for something you said about the beer. Come on now.
I don't know.
It's kind of hard.
I concur.
It's not bad. It's not. I don't enjoy this as much as the other one, but I haven't had my third sip. That's kind of why I was hanging back here.
Mm-hmm. I think this one is. I enjoy it as much as the other one, but in a different way.
It's
a different, even though it's the same style of beer, it's a different beer.
And I'm just trying to figure out if that makes
as much. I mean, that sounds dumb as hell.
It does sound dumb, but that's
true, makes
sense,
right? Yeah, it's the same type of beer, but it's a completely different beer. This is why we love beer. This is why we're able to talk about beer every single week.
Right. Because it's so different. If there was only one recipe for beer, this would be a very boring show.
Yes. It would. So. And some are like, it already is, so I don't know what the issue is. But yeah, no, it is. It's the same style, but it's not. It's different.
It's and I think in this particular case, it's much more
hazy-like without being hazy. Is that a great way to say it?
No, I agree with that.
I like it. It's got that hazy texture, almost. But it's got that West Coast type of hop to it, for me at least. Right. I mean, that's where I'm getting. It's not that fruited.
I still have a little bit of that. For this one, I still have a little bit of the fruited hop on the nose. But on the palate,
it's not near as fruited as the other one.
Right.
Definitely.
All right, let's get into the ratings on this. This one, Doc, you brought it in. We'll let you go first.
It's not my favorite pale ale, but it's pretty close. This is a 9 for me.
Oh, wow. All right. Chadley.
I'm enjoying this quite a bit. I'm going to go 8.25.
8.25, so a little up. I'm going to have to bounce it back down just a little bit from my 8.7 that I gave earlier to the Colorful Colorado. I'm going to go with an 8.2 on this. 8.2, which still does make it BrewTalk approved. America! Every time that plays, I get nervous. No matter what, I'm like, Ryan put the wrong one in queue. Here we go.
Just a little bit.
Speaking of saying things you're not supposed to say on the radio, this is from Stone. This next beer.
You can't say arrogant on the back?
No, you can't say that on the radio, no. This is, and I quote, a direct quote, it's the Arrogant Bastard Ale, 7.2% alcohol on this beer. Obviously, not exactly the same thing. You can see that when you pour it.
Look at the color.
I know. Just look at the color. It's a lot darker. So it says on the back here, and they go after some people here. This is an aggressive beer. You probably won't like it. It's quite doubtful that you have the taste or sophistication to be able to appreciate an ale of this quality and depth. I feel like my girlfriend's told me something like this. We would suggest that you stick to safer and more familiar territory, maybe something with a multi-million dollar ad campaign aimed at convincing you it's made an independent brewery, or one that implies that their tasteless seltzer, fizzy yellow beer, whatever the hell will give you more sex appeal. Perhaps you think multi-million dollar ad campaigns make all that junk taste better. Perhaps you're mouthing your words as you read this. Well, I'm actually reading it on the radio. We believe that pandering to the lowest common denominator represents the height of tyranny, a virtual form of keeping the consumer barefoot, stupid, and led by the nose social media brought forth upon an unsuspecting public in 1997. Arrogant Bastard Ale openly challenged the tyrannical overlords who were brazenly, reading for a beer, were brazenly attempting to keep the people chained in the shackles of poor taste.
It's awful arrogant sounding.
One glance around and it's glaringly obvious they're winning as of now, yet we will not stop ever. Since the very beginning, Arrogant Bastard Ale has revealed in its unprecedented and uncompromising celebration of intensity. There have been many nods to Arrogant Bastard Ale, even outright attempts to copy it, but only one could ever embody the true nature of liquid arrogance, hated by many, loved by few. That was a lot.
That was a lot.
That's more word. That's a higher reading level than I obtained in high school.
Good and for you. You sounded great.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Look at you reading that. No, I'm just thinking that this particular beer is, after tasting it, I mean, it's much darker than the pale ales we've been doing.
I was not ready for that.
And it is very, very bitter at the end.
Yeah.
To me, this, while I've heard that it's potentially a strong ale, this is more of maybe like an ESB, an extra special bitter or something like that.
I like that take on it.
It's almost to that category to me.
Because it's heavily malted.
It's a little too heavy on the malt for me.
That bitter hits there at the end aggressively.
Sure. Yeah.
So this is not an American pale ale. I messed up here. But it's an interesting take on it.
I love this beer, though.
I think it's great to throw us a curve. In fact, Arrogant Bastard Ale is probably one of my go-tos if I see it on the menu.
Yeah.
This is a type of beer that I won't drink a whole lot during the summer. I will not get here with this beer. It's 7.2% ABV on this. That bitter at the end, it's like when it's warm, you know, it heats up a little bit. Your mouth feel just
super malty.
Like, right. Like it's those, like, okay.
Like those commercials where you see the bitter beer face.
Yeah, right.
You kind of get that impression you might be doing that yourself after you're drinking this.
And it's like, I won't eat a ton of chili in the summertime. I just won't, or soup, or whatever it is. It just doesn't go with me. This beer, unless I'm in a very...
Do you eat green chili in the summer?
Air-conditioned on my breakfast burritos.
Okay.
But it's cool. It's a cool in the breakfast time. This beer is very very much that way for me. So it's not bad. I would drink this. I would absolutely drink this, you know, in the fall or something like that. That's that. You start to get the cooler weather, you know, the nights start to get a little crisp. Pop one of these. I do like, and Stone doesn't do a bad beer. I mean, they maybe do, but I've never had one. I've never had one on this program, at least. But
I agree with you. I think this is, for me, in my head, this is very much a fall type beer. Where it's still warm during the warm during the day, and those evenings cool off, and you grab one of these, and
And fall is very relative. Imagine Stone is in just north of San Diego,
true.
Right? So fall for them is still it's like 95 degrees. So
yeah, those people are what we call psychopaths. They absolutely are. But
I think if you're a big fan of the bitter right in your face. Or the hop right in your face, this is the beer for you. It's nice, heavy malt, nice bitter at the end. And it's nice to throw us a curveball like this.
Well, this was just, I appreciate you saying that, but this was just me being a moron. So
no, it's great to see the pale ales and then compare and contrast with a different style. And
right.
Notice the similarities, but the differences as well.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's heavier in all aspects that go along with it, but not a bad beer. I wouldn't say this is a bad beer in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
So, I mean, if we rule this as an American pale ale, this is a zero because it's not that. So let's just rate this beer for what it is. Let's just rate it as a beer. Let's just go with that. I'll go first. And this is... this might be one of the toughest ratings that I've ever had to do on the show, because if you caught me drinking this beer in November, it'd be like, oh man, we're talking 9.8, 9, you know. But it's been what? It's been 100 degrees the last couple days, and we cooled down a little bit. But I'm torn on this, guys. I really am torn. I'm going to go.
Don't worry about the weather.
Yeah, I wouldn't
just
worry about the weather.
I'm going to give it a 9.1. I'm going to give it a 9.1. Okay. That's where I'm going.
Good.
I'm locking it in.
Yeah.
Doc?
Oh, okay. Me. This is actually one of my go-tos. If I see it on the menu, I go for it because oftentimes coming out of a keg, it's better than out of a bottle.
Really?
And so I'll do a 9.3 on this.
All right.
I like this one a lot.
I wasn't too far off then. That makes me feel better.
No. And I'm going to go right along with you, Tanner. I'm going to go with a 9. This is, I love this beer. It's a great beer.
Yeah, it very much is not an American pale ale, but it's still a very good ale. So that is BrewTalk approved.
Hey, who wants to play Drink the Beer?
Right here.
You win.
All right, what do I win?
Another beer.
Oh, I'm going for the high score.
At 7.2%, I don't know if I'd go for the high score unless you get a ride out of there. Drink responsibly, presented by Dr. Mosier. Please drink responsibly.
Of
I don't
course.
Know. That's, there it is. There's a legal obligation. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side, wrap up this edition. It's Brew Talk right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. It's Brew Talk. We are on the way home. We're almost there. Thanks for everybody for being with us. Brew Talk Radio here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Guys, I want to wrap up on this. Obviously, the Colorado Pale Ales, I mean, they very good beer. We did American Pale Ales, not just Colorado, but very good.
You were looking at the box.
I was staring right at the box. And both of them were Colorado beers. So, very good. I mean, this might be the style that could go year-round. I mean, this could be close.
I think so. I mean, if you think of the beer that you can remember the most, you probably are thinking of a Pale Ale.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, but does that make it lose a little bit of its luster, the fact that we can drink this in December and still have the same happiness inside of us as we can in June?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean, it's yeah, it doesn't have the diamonds and the sparkle that some of the other beers do have, depending upon the time of the year. But it's got a wonderful flavor, a wonderful kind of drinkability.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it can just be a year-round beer.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. The other thing that I was going with this is that I'm really loving this. We've got so much to do now, and it makes me so happy. We've got the Stampede. We've got grand openings. We've got beer dinner pairings. Yeah. We've got so much stuff that we can go out and do. Your guys' calendar's filling up.
Isn't this supposed to be the, like, relaxing time of the year?
Right.
Where we get
it's almost like we vacation hard enough that we that it doesn't feel like vacation.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you're right. This is the time when everybody's doing beer festivals are coming back. Wow. There's tons of really cool stuff going on right now.
And after a year and a half of not doing anything, everybody's gung-ho to get out and do stuff.
Right. I think everybody's social meters are getting back up there, and they're ready to get going. So let's throw it out there again. Chad, talk about your beer dinner pairing, Horse and Dragon,
June 29th, $50 a person, 6 beers, 5 courses of food, interaction with a representative from the brewery, so you get to hear the stories behind the beers and the brewery itself. So it's always a great time.
Yeah, and you'll be there.
I'll be there.
Can talk to you, right?
Or so no. They can see my smiling face. And and I guess talk to me. If you really want to.
I guess. Come up and talk to him. What's the best way for them to buy those tickets?
Give us a call, 970-330-2337.
That spells beer. Doc.
Grand opening coming
Friday.
Up.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Friday at noon, we have grand opening. First 20 people in the door are going to be comped with their first beer. And then we've got door prizes all Friday and Saturday. And a great time to be had by all, including live music.
It's going to be a blast. We'll catch you there. For Ryan Kelly, for Dr. Mosher, Chad Young, I'm Tanner Schwinn. This has been Brew Talk right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.